The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Are you taking us in? We appreciate it. Gil Alexander back in the fold. Kelly Midland in the house here. Bar
What's up,
Canada.
Welcome back.
Thanks, brother. What's happening?
Not much. How was D.C.? How was the nation's capital?
Well, you know, my mom has a...
Anything big happen there recently?
we're getting into that today. Jason Weingarten, emergency election betting segment coming up today. Apolitically, people, this is how we do it on this show. But thank you for asking. My mom has lost a step. Not going to lie to you. I can't do the hezzy step back like she used to. I see it coming every time now.
That was nasty when she used to be able to do that.
Yeah. She can't hear. She doesn't remember from one day to the next. Though I will say this. If a keen observer would say that she seems to remember conversations with my brother far greater than she remembers ones with me. So I would not have predicted this development, so it's a little disconcerting. But it took 10 and a half hours to get there.
I feel like I could have predicted that.
Really?
I've heard you make a jab or two before.
The problem was I had a 10 and a half hour delay. Took me literally 15 hours to get to D.C. from here. Because apparently when I reserved my American Airlines flight from Vegas to D.C., you know how you can, like, filter based on one-stop, non-stop?
Yeah.
Apparently, I filtered based on two deplanings. I was like, I'd like the flight where I have to board and get off twice before we do it the third time.
I feel like our live texting of this event was, like, 3 months ago. And
it does feel like that.
Yeah, it was only, what, 10 days ago? Yeah,
oh, no, that's so true because we're doing the July, our MLB July wins update coming up. It feels like we made that bet a month and a half ago because of the All-Star break. Yeah, anyway, it's 10 and a half hours late. Other than that, it was great, man. Some mosquitoes got me. You know, the huge.
Mosquitoes.
The huge. On the show today, we are going to talk election betting odds. Apolitically speaking, I know there's always going to be somebody out there who's like, I know what you think. No, you don't. We're going to talk about it just from a money-making perspective. We're going to talk about our July bet on the Royals, where that stands as we head into the final 10 days of July. John Legace will join us, talk some baseball. Pete Futak on college football. Let's talk some SEC today, for God's sakes. Samich Samo bombing with us. Can I get a tennis player or two in before we talk about the Open Championship? Have three plays today. One was a winner overnight on Yana Fett as a slight plus 106 dog. Coming up here momentarily, within 10 minutes, you know how tennis start times go. Maybe it'll be in a half hour, for God's sakes, maybe longer. I'm on Astra Sharma. You know Astra Sharma, don't you, Kelly?
Oh, one of my favorites.
She's playing on clay at the Prague Open. She's playing Magdalena Frech. Astra Sharma with big plus 169 dog yesterday when I put it out. All these, by the way, all picks from all hosts, all guests, every sport at VSiN.com/picks. Sharma right now, just making sure that price is not out of whack.
Plus 160 at DraftKings.
Plus 151, plus 160, so still playable. I wouldn't play it like lower than plus 140, but it's certainly still playable. VSiN.com/picks, I put these out the night before. So Astra Sharma is the first one that should start in about 10 minutes, and then, or thereabouts. And then the next one is on, we're back on hard courts, baby. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus Almighty. I'm on Arthur Kazao. A little later on in Atlanta, Georgia. He's taking on Alejandro Davidovich Fokina. And Kazao was a plus 122 dog when I put it out last night. He's plus 104 now. So, again, CLV monster. What could go wrong? It's kind of teetering on a playable. I'll say if you're still plus money, I don't know. Plus 105 is kind of borderline. I'll let you decide if you want to play that or not. But plus 122 was the price last night. So Kazao and Sharma, not quite at the prices from last night on the VSiN.com/picks page, but still playable.
This is a doozy of a match going on right now between Katinka von Dieschmann and Anna Karolina Schmidlova.
Well done on Schmidlova.
You don't know about who did not know. Not well done on the other one. You don't know.
Yeah.
I've never seen that name before.
There was something in a 125 in Warsaw. What was her name? There was somebody that came up this morning. I'm like, who is that?
There's a couple names on this one I haven't seen before.
Yeah, I don't see her anymore now. Where is it? No, I don't see it right now. Okay, golf. Let us begin. Open Championship. Xander Schauffele, everybody. In the span of, I would say a year, but let's just call it a span of two majors, He has gone from the guy that if you, Kelly, or any of our golf experts would ever bet him to win a major or any big golf tournament.
Or any golf tournament.
Or any golf tournament. It would kind of elicit this groan, right? You're like, oh, really? You're doing that again? Well, back-to-back major championships now for Xander Schauffele, who does it, by the way, back-to-back closing final rounds, 65s, that is, when it comes.
Or twice this year, not back-to-back.
Back-to-back final rounds of majors. He did that in the PGA and in the Open Championship, correct? 65 in the final round of each.
For the majors that he won, yeah, there was a U.S. Open in between.
Oh, I'm sorry, correct. Of the majors that he won, pardon me. He becomes the only the second player ever to have multiple final rounds of 65 or better en route to major championship wins. The only other person, Jack Nicklaus, 1967 U.S. Open. Who could forget that, Kelly? And the 1986 Masters, which obviously was the iconic, yes, sir, championship for Jack. The green jacket in 1986. He had final round 65s. That's the list. Jack and Xander.
Always good when you can join a list with Jack Nicklaus on it.
How about this list? He joins Tiger and Jordan Spieth as the only golfers to finish top eight in all four majors in a season since 1980. U.S. golfers now, along with Bryson DeChambeau's U.S. Open and Scottie Scheffler's Masters, U.S. golfers sweep the majors for the first time since 1982. How about that? 42 years since that's happened. Stadler won the Masters that year, the Walrus. Ray Floyd won the PGA. And Tom Watson won the sixth and seventh of his eight major championships, the U.S. Open and Open Championship of that year. We used to call it the British Open. That was the U.S. Open where he, excuse me, was it the British or the U.S.? I believe it was the U.S. Open where he famously chipped in at 17 to steal it from Jack Nicklaus. They were actually tied. And Jack thought he was going to at least force a playoff because Watson was in the deep rough, and then he chipped out at 17, and then he birdied 18 to win it by two.
I think of all the accomplishments you've just read.
What's the best of all of that?
For this to be the first time that the U.S. has swept the majors since 1982, that one is maybe the most odd to me just because of how dominant Tiger Woods was for such a long period of time.
Right, because you could bingo square him into a
bunch.
Yeah. But no.
I mean, not to say it's a great worldwide game. Like, obviously it has
great
been for a long
game.
Time, but it's just when you think of Tiger and you think of 2000, 2000s and, that range, that time period, it's just, man, there was a lot of great American golfers with him at the top.
Xander wins it going away. He birdied three of the last six holes. Scottie Scheffler was in it until the ninth hole yesterday when he double bogeyed. Brutal putting performance on the green there at the ninth. So he was, kind of done right then and there, his chances to win the tournament. Sure, he could have had a comeback, but for all intents and purposes, he was done right there. And there was obviously other leaders during the day. Justin Rose had his moment. Thurston had his moment as well. Thurston Lawrence had his moment.
Yep, Lawrence, Marshall down the stretch, yep.
But it was Xander going away. Congratulations to everybody who had him. You did not.
No, I did not. No, yeah. I believe Chris Velika did.
Chris Velika did.
Yeah, he was he was popped in here last week for a little bit, and we were talking quickly about that. So, yeah, I believe he was on. I was not on him. Xander's form had just been so great all season long. You almost – yeah, I think Xander, Scotty, some of those guys at the top. It's just whenever they have a couple tournaments together where their statistical profile isn't like elite, it's easy to kind of write them off or look another way on that next tournament. And that's kind of where Xander was for me. He was kind of in that, 10 to 15-ish range kind of where I kind of had guys rated this week. So I had stayed away from him, but, hey, it's a guy I've bet a lot in the past. And top 10s on Xander this year have been by far my most profitable golf bet. So great to see Xander get the W. A wild tournament overall. I mean, I think it does, as a golf bettor, I think you have these open championships that come around every once in a while or almost every year. And you're like, should I be betting this much? With how much the weather affects things.
Does that happen to your voice?
Yeah, it does. Should I be betting this much? There's so many examples we could go through, but Sungjae, right? I had a top 20 that cashed on him. That was a great cash. He needed horrible weather on Friday to even to avoid missing the cut to even be around for the weekend, and then puts himself into a top 10 position. You got guys like Tony Finau, who was what, like T10 after round one, sitting at even par, shoots 10 over on Friday. See ya, your major's over. So I think there's some betting lessons to take away from it. I had talked about it a little bit last week that I usually go less on the Open because of stuff like that. But I've been on a little bit of a golf heater recently, so I kind of went heavy, and it got bloody.
Give me your worldwide golf rankings now at the top. Give me your top four.
It's still Scheffler. I know I like you know I'm a big Schauffele guy. Still can't have the Scheffler versus Schauffele conversation yet, okay? Like Scheffler, tee to green, it's been so historically good this whole season. I know a lot of people want to go there. It's still Scheffler and then Schauffele, but it is Schauffele, and I think I've been saying this pretty consistently for the past few months. It is Schauffele number two without a doubt to me. Before we get to whoever else you want to bring up third,
I think your three?
I would go Rory three. I would still go Rory three. I think some people might want to say Bryson DeChambeau. That's fine. I don't think that's a bad answer. I think with almost all the live guys, though, I can say, you know what? I don't see him play enough competitive golf to really have a true answer to that question.
No. Starting to feel a little Tennessee at the top in golf. I was looking at the purses, by the way, you know, first time since the Americans swept in 1982. So, again, what is that? 42 years since we've had a sweep, American sweep of all the majors. Tom Watson, I looked up the purses for the U.S. Open and the British that year. Mm-hmm. $60,000 for winning the U.S. Open, £32,000 for winning the British that year. Xander, a cool $3.1 million.
Whew.
Here in 2024. Come back, John Legesa on baseball, and a little brief Olympics tennis preview next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, Kelly, I don't know if you know this, but our VSiN NFL betting guide is out now, and our all-new college football guide dropping August 1st. How about that? It's not rhetorical.
I can't wait.
only Visa. No, but how about that? Only Visa Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and NFL seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats, trends, and power ratings. Plus, best bets on futures and season win totals. Sign up before the end of July and receive both guides and full Visa Pro access to our daily pro picks, 24/7 video, and exclusive data like our betting splits all the way through the Super Bowl for an early bird discount price of just $175. The football special discount price expires on July 31st, so do not wait. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, real quick, Olympics coming. Drew, hopefully tomorrow, a full Olympics breath of picks throughout the sports. I'll just give my tennis chime in, which is real simple. On the women's side, Iga's right around 2-1. She was about -170 when I got her. It's clay. It's Philippe Chatrier. We're back at the French Open court where she is the Rafa Nadal of the women's tour. There's no way you can really recommend anybody else, quite frankly, on this surface. If you said, you must give me a long shot play, Gil, you must. I cannot bet Iga at -200. I would say that you should either bet Ostapenko's 27-1, Paulini's 48-1, and Krejcikova's 35-1. Pick one of those. But you really should just be betting Iga. On the men's side, it is the usual suspects as well. It is Carlos Alcaraz. It is Novak Djokovic. It is Jannik Sinner. And it is Rafa Nadal. And Nadal is the fly in the ointment here because I just mentioned that Iga was the Rafa Nadal of the women's tour when it comes to clay. Rafa Nadal is the Rafa Nadal of the men's side when it comes to clay, obviously. The winner of 14 French Opens. So this is his final hurrah. This is what he was waiting for. One more Olympics. He won it in 2008. He's 10-1. Is he the guy that could overcome the big three, the new big three of Alcaraz, Djokovic, and Sinner? Pretty creative. It would be a heck of a bet to root for. Let's put it that way. Nadal at 10-1, and it does have a puncher's chance, for sure, even though he just got blasted on clay by Nuno Borges. But we've seen him lose clay tournaments before he got to the French Open. So Listen, Alcaraz and Swiatek are the short shots for a reason. Swiatek is the favorite for a reason. Alcaraz, the short shot on the men's side, because they are super duper fast. They get to everything on clay, and they turn defense into offense, and so that's why their price tag is. But I think Nadal would be an interesting play on the men's side.
I bet Alcaraz.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Plus 130.
Drew Dinsa came on here last week. He said this price is ridiculous.
It's plus money.
Yeah. Plus 170, 165 is what I got.
Oh, are you serious? That's great price.
So yeah, when he came on, DraftKings had just posted plus 170, and Drew was just going nuts comparing it to what the price was at the French for Alcaraz, and was like, this makes too much sense.
He's not even having his best year like on the court, and he's still.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think I got 165, but I saw 160s out there still yesterday.
I didn't get it quite that price. I bet Iga a couple times. I bet Carlos. I did not take a bet on Nadal yet, but just for a little giggle, I might take a little sampling of that. Let's talk some baseball. John Legace is here, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. We always love having John in here for some instant offense. MLB and NFL writer for The Athletic, host of the Corked Stats podcast, comes to us at John Lagheza on Twitter. You're spelling it phonetically. How you doing, Johnny?
Gil, I'm loving that lead-in. Kelly, come on. He served you up with the, how about that? I thought we were going to get Cosa. I thought we were getting, I got the Cheshire Cat smile. I was waiting. How about that? You had to tell him it wasn't rhetorical, man. Yeah, how we doing?
Johnny, I usually don't get caught, okay? But sometimes I got other people talking in my ears, too, okay? And I don't fully hear Gil. That's what happened.
How about that?
Now I'm just dying. The 50, the 40, the 30. Look at him go.
How about that was more Mel Allen on This Week in Baseball? How about that? That was more him.
Oh, that was another good one. Oh, yeah. Man.
Come on, John.
I miss those shows, man. John. I miss TWIB maybe more than anything. All right, let's go.
Now it's time for this week's TWIB Notes. John, if you're going to go down how about that history, let's get our announcers correct, for God's sake. all right, Johnny, you describe yourself as white hot off air. White hot.
Yes, we are white hot.
What's happening? You doing well in baseball?
Well, listen, it's all about transparency, and when you asked me last time how I was doing, I told you it was a little bit of struggle. We were on the, business side of some variance and playing around even, but you got to stick with the things you can control, right? I don't throw the ball. I don't swing the bat. We do control our work ethic. We do control our attitude, and we do control the risk management, all the things that I take a lot of pride in, and now, boom, we are hit the ground running after the All-Star break. Again, relying on the model. We do the show every day, adding the analysis, and play responsibly, and it's kept me in the arena for years, handicapping and, for the public. Betting baseball every day, it's difficult. Let's get into the game's first one. I had a misprice. I don't just like to rely on my model. I hate when people just quote their own proprietary work, but it is all data-backed. Detroit Rock City, the Tigres, leaving 8 Mile, going to Cleat Town, baby, to face the Cookie Monster. It's Scooble-Dooble-Doo, Scooble-Dooble-Doo. Come on, Tarik Skubal is legit on the shortest list of best pitchers this year, most effective pitchers on a per-inning basis. He is literally doing it all, minus 125 against his Guardian team, and Carrasco feels like a total misprice. I mean, Scooble's all the good things. I mean, it's up 2.4 ERA, 0.88 whip, but all the indicators agree. 31K to 4.5 walks, so the control is there. Elevated ground ball, suppressing hard contact, keeping the ball in the yard. And, you can get him the shoulder pads with the spikes on it because, what a rush. He's a road warrior. He's killing it on the road. This guy's just doing absolutely everything. And Carrasco's really struggled. I mean, long in the tooth, it's passed him by. The velo is down. The contact is up. It's not been great. And he's really been very bad in his own building, which is kind of played up as far as offense goes. He's allowed a .295 batting average, nearly 5 ERA, almost 2 home runs per 9. That's Carrasco. The offense is probably split. Now, I don't want to put a gold star on my big nose, but I am going to briefly because baseball, teams, and players, it's all about waves, everybody. Sine waves. You want to catch the crest up. You want to catch the crest down. They work in rectangular action, not, perpetuity in a certain direction. Cleat Town, the Guardians were really overperforming. The discipline is good, but without the contact quality and the home runs, you're going to struggle. They've also pulled back on the stolen bases. The bullpen for Cleveland's been good. So is Detroit. I don't think it's going to matter. I mean, the model just has this one screaming. It's listed minus 125. That's 55% implied probability for you math nerds out there. I've got it at minus 217 fair line. That's 68%. Give me all the edge in the Tigers at minus 125.
Trade deadline is in 8 days, John, on July 30th. Tigers rumored to be in talks with both the Dodgers and the Orioles about Skubal. You think Skubal gets traded?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of hoping it would be my Yankees. There's a couple of youngsters, you know, I think it's Spencer Jones, right? I hope I didn't misquote. But there's a couple of nice prospects the Yankees have that maybe you can get that done. I know they were looking for Crochet. Point is,
Crochet's out there. Yeah.
The along with Louis Robert, it's actually Louis Robert. Sorry, I confused it. But those two pieces could move the needle for any team, whoever is on the right end of that. You know what, for me, especially when it comes to youngsters, pay up. We don't even know if these guys are going to pan out. Look at Joe Adell, and not to knock him. He's been around. We've been doing this thing up and down for years and years. Number one pick, this and that, uber prospect, Mike Trout, Mickey Mantle. It hasn't happened. You know, meanwhile, if you traded him for a win-now situation, I would do it for the big lefty. I don't know where he's going to go, but I think the Dodgers will be looking more for a bullpen move. We've seen a lot of shakeup there at the end of the game.
All right, so you are on the Tigers, then against the Guardians, full game money line. You are tempting fate against that Guardians bullpen. And you have one more full game. What do you got today?
All right, come on. I couldn't leave you with one. A favorite. Ugh. You know, we can't do that. I'm allergic to juice. So let's get on the plus side of things. Again, this one feels like a narrative play. I was talking to you about the Oakland A's off air. This does not involve the A's, but to the greater point, there is a narrative base to public betting, and I think the public sinks into jerseys and they don't want to let go. So we're going to go with the Reds. Hunter Green is on the bump for the Red Legs against the Bravos and Ronaldo Lopez. I mean, the Braves are just not what they were last year. It's multiple missing pieces. Now, Albies is also gone. They've turned into a real sellout team, not to do all the granular stuff, but if you're following the Braves, they're striking out like crazy. That's going to work to Green's advantage. All they try and do is hit home runs, but he does not allow them on the road. And in fact, if Hunter Green was not pitching for Cincinnati, we might be talking about him as a Cy Young candidate. He has a 160 BA allowed on the road, 550 OPS, 250 ERA, half a homer, nine. Raylo's been okay, but I just don't think it happens. Braves' offense not as good. Cincinnati's been really good at the back end. Give me the plus 130 in the money with Hunter Green, clear edge on the bump today.
All right. One favorite, one dog. Tigers are the favorite. Reds are the dog against the Braves. Boy, this is, might not be the year for the Atlanta Braves with all the injuries.
No, it's over. It's over.
Acuna and Albies and Freed now.
And now Freed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just it's
no, they're done. It's over. It happens. Injuries.
It happens. It absolutely happens. They are 4.5 games clear of being on the outside looking in the National League playoff picture. By the way, just one clarification on the segment. John said he was allergic to juice, as in vigorish. Just wanted to clear that up for everybody who might have been on the fence about that. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. July Major League Baseball wins update next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Drama at the Sigma Derby table. Don't forget to check out our website, vsin.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. Front page of vsin.com, Josh Applebaum, top picks from the NFL win totals betting splits. He's got that going on. Zach Cohen's got his Paris Olympics tennis preview as well. JVT on men's basketball odds and previews for the Olympics 2024. By the way, he's a Grizzlies Summer League pick is still alive, right?
Looking good.
Heading into the championship.
Yeah, sort of tailed about that.
All of that's at VSiN.com. Nigel on Olympic soccer. It's all there. Wes on Olympics golf. A lot of Olympics at VSiN.com. Check it out. By the way, Sigma Derby table, which is, I don't know, what would you say, a 25-foot putt away from us? You know, a little break to the right for
nice,
me.
Nice
break to the left for you.
12-yard out,
They're feverishly cleaning, and you were saying there was an incident there here recently?
There was a kerfuffle yesterday.
Oh, a kerfuffle.
I don't really know what happened, so I don't really know what happened. I believe someone did get led away in handcuffs yesterday, so
in handcuffs?
Yeah, there was something going on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was it a kerfuffle? It did not rise to the level of an old-fashioned Donnybrook?
No violence of any kind.
Oh, okay.
Yes. That was a little bit more why I was. We were like, what's going on over there?
Are any Donnybrooks modern, or are they all old-fashioned?
They're all old-fashioned.
Yeah. You see her about actress Aubrey Plaza? I'm aware of Aubrey Plaza because she was on White Lotus, one of the seasons of White Lotus. And she's on, what sitcom was she on? She's big on, was it
Parks and Rec?
Parks and Rec, yeah. She tore her ACL at WNBA All-Star Weekend. Damn. And this is the second time she has torn an ACL playing basketball.
Are you serious? Are you pulling up the story, too?
Ironically, she talked about the first incident at a live taping of a podcast this past Friday with Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird just hours before the second tear.
Oh, that's awful.
She tore it playing a game of knockout. What is knockout?
Knockout's the game where, like, you shoot. Man, I would have to look up the exact rules again. You've got two balls right there. You can have as many as, I don't know how many people.
Yeah.
And you shoot from, like, the free throw line, and you got to make it. And if you don't, like, you can knock the person's ball away, hence knockout. And then, like, if you score before them, then you knock them out, they're out.
Did you tour ACL doing that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Man, I've had some pretty violent games at knockout before. That's a great game. I remember, free throw line, yeah, I think it's free throw line, maybe three-point line, maybe you can back it up. And it's just, like, if you shoot first kill, then I shoot after you, and I'm trying to make the ball before you can make it.
I see.
So live rebound, then you can just go lay up or whatever. Usually the fun way, though, is you can take the ball and knock your ball away.
So there's a lot of twisting and stick and jab kind of thing.
Yeah.
By the way, I'd like to dispel the did you see this Nick Castellanos thing that came out yesterday? Somebody tweeted this out. So Joe Biden, we'll talk election here momentarily with Jason. But Joe Biden, the U.S. president, announcing that he will not be running for re-election, obviously was the big news of the day globally yesterday, let alone nationally. And then Nick Castellanos hit a home run. And, of course, this sparked the old the memory of course, the old Tom Brenneman thing. Tom Brenneman saying, how could I put this delicately, unfortunate things caught by a hot mic. Ended his career, by the way. Tom Brenneman, the long play-by-play guy of the Cincinnati Reds.
Coming back, by the way.
Is he coming back?
Yeah, I just saw the story, like, last night, I believe.
Okay.
Returning to broadcasting with the CW after 4 years.
At the CW?
Yeah, that's what this says, yeah.
Sure it's not the WB?
It's the CW.
Okay. Well, and so when Castellanos hit the home run after the Biden news, everybody remembered, the Brenneman, I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive into deep left field by Castellanos, and that'll be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ballgame. Anyway, so someone tweeted out this long list of other huge events that Castellanos allegedly had hit a home run either during or after an announcement. And the whole list is, not the whole list, but like he's only done it three times. The rest of it was all made up.
Yeah.
Like he didn't hit a home run when Will Smith slapped Chris Rock, nor did he when Queen Elizabeth died or Vince Scully died. Like all of that's just.
Ben and I were on the air yesterday during a break. He was trying to explain this to me. Like I remember the Brenneman thing, I remember that. I didn't know that this was a larger conversation.
Yeah.
Around Castellanos.
Brenneman had made a homophobic slur that was caught on the mic. He then had to apologize. He did so in the most, you could feel that moment in this man's life. And Castellanos has the nerve
right
to hit a home run in the middle.
Yeah.
And he instinctively went into broadcast mode. And there's a shot to left field. It's 4-0
like,
Reds.
Like I knew, I remember that. I knew about that. I didn't know that this was there was a like a list growing.
Well, it's three.
And Ben was describing this to me, and I was like, "This seems silly."
It's only three.
Yeah.
There was another one where there was a Phillies Giants game, and I think it was on Memorial Day, and so I can't remember. Tom is also the name of the Phillies announcer. He was going through a tribute on Memorial Day, and as he's giving the tribute, Castellanos has the nerve to hit it out in left field, out into the left field bleachers again. So yesterday was the third one, so that's what sparked
Brenneman
this. Anyway.
Brenneman to call college football games
there
on
you
the
go.
CW.
Okay. All right.
Get another shot.
July, Major League Baseball win total update. Again, I said this earlier. This feels like we made this bet because of the All-Star break and because July just is 115 degrees, at least if you live out here it is. It just feels like we made this bet a year ago. But again, the history of this, if you're just landing on this show, March, April, we famously did this with the Guardians at 65-1. We came one out away from hitting it. Just soul-crushing. 16-1 on the Guardians in May was my play. That finished two games out. They went 2-5 against the Rockies and the White Sox. If they just go 5-2, let's say, they win that. And then we did cash it in June with the Astros at 25-1 and 17-1 for most wins in the month of June. So this has been an unbelievable unbelievably profitable and unbelievably enjoyable. Like, as profitable as has been, we probably should have had it much more profitable. So this month, July, the play was the Royals, the Kansas City Royals at 17-1, and I stated all the reasons. Much of them are the same. A lot of it has to do with schedule, but a lot has to do with the strategy of the bet, which is I bet it at Circa, where the tiebreaker rules are in effect. Remember, William Hill Caesars, the only other shop that offers this, it is a dead heat shop. But at Circa, there's a tiebreaker. If you end up with the same amount of wins, it goes to fewest losses, followed by best run differential. And so the instinct, as I mentioned at the beginning of this month, is, oh, well, the more games you play, the more opportunity there is to win games, and so that's who you should sort of gravitate towards. But I argued in the same way that I bet the Astros, who have the second fewest games in the month of June scheduled, and the Royals, who have the second fewest amount of games scheduled in the month of July, actually the way to play it is counterintuitively. Because if we can just get the wins, we will win the tiebreaker. It's a very strange little quirky thing that sort of, again, goes against what your initial instincts ought to be if you're betting it at Circa. So, update, 10 days left. Every team has either 9 or 10 games left to play. The Detroit Tigers, the aforementioned Detroit Tigers, Kelly, 11-5, they are currently the leader. Again, this doesn't end on July 21st. It ends after July 31st, so that's the problem with that. But the Tigers at 11 wins, 11-5, they are in first place. The Diamondbacks, Pirates, Astros, and Mets each have 10. Diamondbacks, Pirates, and Astros are all 10-6. The Mets are 10-7. The Mets actually have an extra game. They have a 10th game. They had it. Besides the All-Star break, the Mets had a game scheduled every single day this month. The Athletics, the Rangers, and the Red Sox are all 9-6. The Cubs, Cardinals are 9-7. And then it is the Royals, who lead the 8-win brigade at 8-6. So the Royals are in 11th place overall out of the 30 teams in Major League Baseball. The Royals are in 11th place. Here's the good news. The good news is, the bad news, of course, they're 3 wins behind the Tigers. The good news is, only the Tigers have 1 fewer losses, right? So the Royals, that whole tiebreaker strategy is definitely in full effect. And, by the way, there was my prediction as to what they would have to do per series. Here's the actual result of what they've done in the series. So they're actually 2 games behind where I thought they'd be. But remember where those 2 games really were, Kelly. They went 1-4 out of the gate because they were 5 of 34 with runners in scoring position those first 5 games. So we really got behind the 8 ball those first 5 games. But they're 7-2 since then. And their remaining 9 games, 6 of them are at home, 3 against the Diamondbacks, 3 against the Cubs, 2 of the teams that are in front of them. And then it's 3 at the White Sox. The Royals happen to have the 3rd best record in all of Major League Baseball at home. They are a juggernaut in Kansas City. So that begins tonight with a game against Arizona. Kansas City's a -160 favorite. Reagans is on the mound. So, by the way, Seth Lugo, a guy who I made a whole speech about why I bet him for Cy Young before I went on vacation. Seth Lugo with a complete game.
Great work.
3-hitter yesterday.
Great work. I did the whole brain dead jump in line against the White Sox.
There you go. Complete game 3-hitter for Seth Lugo. He jumps way ahead once again in the Tom Tango Cy Young tracker here with obviously more than 2 months left in the season. But they're the Royals, -155 tonight against Diamondbacks. So all you got to do is keep winning, and the field will come back to you. And so Royals last flourish here with 9 games. We are in it once again. At least at this point, we are alive.
How is it?
Just such a fun bet, man.
How is it end of July and this White Sox thing is still a thing? Like, this it's my favorite thing of the baseball season so far.
You mean the winning after 5 and then losing full game?
Yeah. This is just great.
It's an incredible bet. It's been unbelievable. We'll come back. Election talk, apolitically. Betting with Jason Weingarten next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
July's ending with a bang. UFC 304 has not just one, but 2 titles on the line. Get your own crown. Jump in on all the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code VSIN. That's code VSIN for new customers. Get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. Joined now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, by Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia is where you can find him on Twitter, where you can really find him in real life right now. Still at the still in the Hamptons. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. Looks like I picked an eventful week to go on vacation.
You sure did. By the way, before we get into that, what is describe a day in the life at the Hamptons? What do you do?
Wake up. I get coffee. Usually check my bets, see if there's anything to bet on or anything I want to work on. This week or last week was a little different because we had the All-Star break, so kind of cut down on the having to do stuff day to day, at least with baseball. But yeah, I get coffee, get a bagel or whatever, go and hang out in the backyard, read my books, decide where I want to eat lunch, go get a sandwich. They got really good sandwiches out here. Most of the delis are pretty great. You know, never have to worry about getting a good sandwich at a deli out here.
Kelly, what was your imagination of it? That it was what?
I just picture Jason, Preston, and Rufus sitting on a porch somewhere by the beach with cigars going.
We thought that's what it was like. Listen, Jason, obviously yesterday's events, I was like, all right, we've got to do a segment with Jason. For those who are unfamiliar with this, yes, this is sports betting, but we have bet on this show for many, many years now on elections and to great success, 2020 presidential election being the greatest example of that. But we discuss it apolitically. We are only here to make money. We are less interested in the politics, or at least I am less interested in the politics. I just want to see how we can make money. And so yesterday, Joe Biden announces that he will not run for reelection. This is a big moment in American history, obviously. The first time since 1968 when Lyndon Johnson decided not to run for re-election, that a sitting United States president made that decision. Johnson made that in the wake of the Tet Offensive during the Vietnam War. Biden, obviously, after a, how can I put this kindly, diminished performance at the debate with Donald Trump a few weeks back, the writing was on the wall, and so Biden does, in fact, say that he's not going to run for re-election. And so, Jason, I guess my first question to you, and by the way, here are the odds right now. The final odds before Biden's announcement, Trump was minus 225, Donald Trump minus 225, Kamala Harris was plus 625, Joe Biden 7-1, because obviously the rumblings, would Biden succumb to the pressure of pulling out or not, that was still there. Now that it is, the announcement has been made, Harris cut in half, or even more than half. Trump still the favorite, but Harris about plus 270. Well, we're seeing, let's see, Trump minus 200, Kamala plus 350 over at Ladbrokes, and then at Paddy Power, Trump minus 187, Harris plus 275. So my question to you, Jason, off the top is, if you're giving truth serum to Republican strategists, if Biden was the one that they absolutely wanted to run against, where does Kamala rank now, obviously still with Newsom and Whitmer and everybody else already endorsing Kamala, but in their truth serum, is this who they'd want to face?
Man, that's a tough question, because I mean, I don't think particularly highly of Kamala Harris, and I don't understand what anybody's doing here, the Republicans or the Democrats. It's very confusing, you know. Just to go back for a second, I mean, we haven't seen Biden since Friday. He announced he's leaving the race with a tweet, you know, with a letter that it very likely wasn't written by him, and a tweet, and that's it. We still haven't seen him. It's very confusing what the strategy is, but it's obvious that the Democrats have decided to circle the wagons around Kamala, and that she's likely going to be the nominee, whether, you know, it's voted on or not. It sounds like, you know, everyone's falling into line. What I've said on the last couple pods I've done, and people have asked me what I think about the elections, is, you know, 3.5 months is a very long time. We've just seen in the last week, all the events of the last week or the last 10 days, things keep moving so quickly. It's hard to be particularly confident about anything that's going to happen 2 months or 3 months from now. I do think it's reasonable to say that Kamala is going to be the nominee and they're going to circle around her. How they sort of get the message out that this is a legitimate, you know, this is a legitimate candidate that's never won a single primary vote. You know, it's beyond me. That's beyond my pay grade. But the Democrats say they're going with Kamala. you know, who am I to argue with them? But this is going to be an incredibly contested election. It's going to be full of rhetoric that is probably, you know, inappropriate and rude and foul. And people are going to say all sorts of things about each other and the other parties. It's going to be a pretty ugly next couple months.
I think it becomes super fascinating because I go back to the 2020 election. We have a lot of sports bettors, right, who leaned right, and their muscle memory on what happened election night with the live betting. They went back to 2016, and then in 2016 when Trump won Florida, it all sort of switched that night. The onslaught against Hillary began, and when Trump won Florida in 2020. You know, good sports bettors don't necessarily make good election bettors. And they seemingly didn't really know how the Electoral College worked. And so they immediately started throwing money behind Trump. And Trump didn't win, obviously, even having won Florida. So this is sort of the cautionary. The reason why this is so fascinating to me is because, let me liken it like this. So you just had the Republican convention bump. Trump survived an assassination attempt, right? Biden's debate performance obviously being the biggest thing of all this. So you have this, it's sort of like, let me do the sports analogy. And by the way, and then you look at the polls, Biden is beating, you know, Reuters poll, Trump was beating Biden by about 3 points. Him and Kamala, even before Biden's announcement, were at dead heat. It's sort of like the team in a first half of a basketball game that shoots 13 for 13 from behind the arc, talking about survive assassination attempt, debate performance, and convention boost. A team that shoots 13 for 13 from behind the arc in the first half, and they're only up a bucket at the half. And as sports bettors, we would unload on the team that's down in that situation, right? So it just, I guess for me, it feels like people who think this is going to be a landslide, ooh, they better think again.
I think it's going to be very close, but I the one thing that I think of just from the political standpoint is that if you believe that Biden was forced from the race because the polling was showing that he had no path to victory in swing states like Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, I'm not sure what you need to do to get Kamala to get a boost in those states. I would assume that the polling would be very similar for her. So again, like I said, I don't know what the strategy is here by the Democrats. I do notice that Barack Obama has not endorsed anybody yet. You know, I put a lot of credence in what he does and what he says and what he says publicly. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I'm looking for information. You see a lot of tweets, you see a lot of commentary, but you don't see a lot of, you know, information right now, especially, like I said, we haven't seen Biden since Friday. This is incredibly unusual. At least should be acknowledged that this is an incredibly unusual situation in American politics. I can't think of any sort of, you know, similar situation to this. We literally have not seen or heard from the president since Friday, and he's announced his resignation only through Twitter. You know, again, it makes Twitter pretty valuable, too, if you think about it. Where else are you getting all this breaking news and everything?
There's nothing normal about this election cycle, period. That's for sure.
It's incredibly abnormal. That's the thing. We're so past what's normal that I think it's screwing with our brains a lot. Like, people aren't processing this information the way they should. Like I said, we've not seen the president since he announced his resignation, which has only happened through Twitter.
It's fascinating.
Quite odd.
Yeah, it's also, I'm with you. I am definitely surprised by how quickly the other potential Democratic candidates threw their hat in the ring and endorsed Kamala immediately. And I don't know if that's Newsom thinking to himself, let's say Gavin Newsom as one of them, or Whitmer, both of them, saying, hey, Trump's probably going to win. Maybe they made the calculation. They think Trump is the favorite. So they're like, why don't you take this one, Kamala? We'll come back in 4 years. Or if they genuinely believe, because the Democratic position would be, okay, she's an attorney general. That's a nice crime against a guy who's been convicted of felonies. She is the first African-American, the first Asian-American woman. That's going to be tough for Trump to be as nasty against, right? That's going to be dicey for him. She gets to pick a vice presidential candidate from a swing state like a Pennsylvania. So there's maybe they genuinely believe that. It's just fascinating all around. And I think it is going to be as close as ever. And I don't think that's the public consensus right now. Would you bet Kamala right now at her price?
I, I would bet nothing right now at the price. It's far from over. Don't think it's close to over.
I would agree with that. Jason, always a pleasure. Safe trip back, my man.
Thank you. I'll talk to you guys later this week.
Coming back, some college football with Pete Futak next.